know, several months ago. But now there's a study guide in the back, so both of these are also half-credit courses for the Bible Institute. Now, there's only three, or with this one, maybe four in the back when I laid them down back there a while ago, because some got taken before I could get that far. But, all right, well, come get it.
Thank you.
All right. The plan of God for the believer's grace giving. Now, I'm going to do something today I've never done in the past. And that is, I'm actually repeating the same message that we gave about a year and a half ago. Except there's going to be a few additions and a few deletions, so it's not identical. But it's like anything else. Repetition is the mother of learning, not boredom. Repetition is the mother of learning. And yes, I know it's crazy, but we're going to talk about money. Now, anybody here feel just a little out of sorts already? All right. Genesis chapter 4, real quick. We're going to scoot through several things in a big hurry, because you can study on your own. You can also go back and hear the original presentation, which is somewhat the same, somewhat different from what we're going to share today. Giving. If anything will get people's knickers in a twist, is start talking about money. Because everybody's got a reason to say, well, that church, all they ever talk about is money. Except how many times do we actually preach on money? Not often. Although we had an unexpected blessing this morning, when Pastor Dennis read through and went through several scriptures that, guess what, are in your study. He did not know what I was doing, and I did not know what he was doing. So what do you think the Lord might be telling some of us? You know, they're awful quiet here today, aren't they, Pastor Dennis? Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. Genesis 4, 3 through 5. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and his offering he had no regard. Now there's a lot of things we could look at with that. The important thing there, as far as that scene is concerned, is that Cain brought an offering of his own hands, whereas Abel brought the blood offering, which is symbolic of Jesus Christ. But for our purposes today, I want you to make the close connection between the very beginnings of mankind, that there was a close connection between giving and worship. Between giving and worship. And I hope you come away today realizing that the one who will not give is not worshiping. No matter what we may think or what kind of feelings we may have, worship and giving go hand in hand. And this goes back not to the Mosaic system, but all the way back to the beginning of mankind. We don't know how long this had already been going on. But God began with Adam and Eve, the first sacrificial system. And it is safe to assume that they had taught their kids. That's why the scene with Cain and Abel was they already knew what they were supposed to do. And note that what Abel did was to take of the firstlings and the fat portions. Now, you see, I am a living sacrifice because of all of my fat portions. Some of you skinny people need to think about that. But anyway, because what that signifies in the Old Testament is giving the best. Ha! Giving the best is the fat portions. Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable because it wasn't blood. But here is the first lesson of 17, really almost 18, you're going to get here today as we move quickly. First lesson, giving and worship are intimately connected. You cannot have one without the other. Giving and worship. We could go to Genesis 14, go to Genesis 14. Come on, we can do this. Genesis 14, you're right here, verses 18 to 20. This was after it's called the Battle of the Ten Kings, where Abraham went and rescued Lot and all those things. But anyhow, Verses 18 to 20, after it's over with, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him, that is Abraham, and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. He gave him a tenth of all. Now here's Abraham had gone out with his military, he didn't have a military, but he made an army of people and servants and others that went with him. And he went out and they fought the battle. They did all of the work. They did all of the sacrifice. They did all of those things. But you see, Melchizedek recognized, as did Abraham, that the reason for the victory was because God gave the victory. There's so many people want to look and they say, well, I'm the one that works with my hands. Who gave you your hands? Who gave you the breath to go? Where did it come from? God. And so Abraham recognized that, and so did Melchizedek, and he gave him a tenth. Now, the word tithe means tenth. And a lot of people want to say, well, I give what I can. But I can't afford to give that much. Well, before it's over with today, I hope you realize you can't afford not to. Abraham knew his victory was because of the Lord, and in an act of gratitude, he gave a tenth of all that was there before he distributed to anyone else the spoils, before he did anything else with it, before he took anything for himself or paid any bills or provided for his family. The tenth went to the Lord. It says, and not only that, but in Hebrews 7, up here on the screen, now observe how great this man was. Who did God call great? Abraham. Why did he call him great? Look. He gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. Abraham didn't look around and say, I don't really want that one, so let's give that to God. Abraham didn't look around and say, oh man, I got those cans of beans from the food bank, and man, they're nasty. Let's give them to the church. Oh, if you think that's funny, let me tell you something. It happens all the time. I'll never forget years ago, whenever we had someone, and you know this story, but someone who said, hey, we're getting new carpet for our house. Would the church like the old carpet? I was not impressed. Would you be? Why not keep your old carpet and buy the new carpet for the church? This carpet is older than the church building. Well, not quite, but we got the only carpet in town held down by duct tape. Somebody said the whole world is held together by duct tape, and somebody said, yeah, and our church too. And that's true. Of course, some of you say, well, based upon experience, the pastor is held together by duct tape. Behave, Bruce. Somebody said, does that mean when we made that rule this morning, no one under 15 been able to go by themselves to Country Fair? Does that mean Bruce can go or can't go? And I said, well, it's based on chronological age, not mental. All right, now, Proverbs 3:9 says, listen, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the what? From the what? First of your produce. First and of all your produce. The Lord says, I am first. Who gave it to you? He did. Oh, he didn't give it to me. The state sent me my welfare check. Who do you think ultimately is the one who gives to you? It's God. He will be Lord. Why? Because he wants to bless you. He wants you to trust him. I tell you what, it's amazing to me. Listen to me. It is amazing to me how people will say, I trust you, Lord, with my eternal life. Jesus, you made me the promise that I will never go and be separated from you. I will not go to the lake of fire, and I'll be with you forever. Thank you for my eternal life. And then when you mention their wallet, they're like, psst.
you back. I'm not going to trust the Lord. Well, I can't do that. Really? You can trust Him with the big thing and you can't trust Him with the little thing? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on. Don't leave me up here by myself today now, okay? All right, here we go again. So then, principle number two. Tithing was not commanded. It was that Abraham did. It was something he did out of gratitude. Here's the second lesson. Giving is to be voluntarily, coming out of the best and out of the first of what we have before any other use. And it should be a percentage. I'm going to say that again. Before any other use. Let me ask you a simple question. When you get a paycheck, do you get all of your paycheck? Where does some of it go? No, it's come off of bills. Where does it go before it ever gets into your hand? Uncle Sam gets a percentage. Is that not part of the first? What do you give? On the total, not what's left.
What do you mean I got to pay tithe on my taxes?
It's called first fruits. Not the last, not the leftovers, but the best. The first. He comes before taxes. He comes before bills. He comes before groceries. He comes before everything. Proverbs, he who is generous, 22:9, he who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. A good example might be this. You receive food stamps. What are you supposed to do? A percentage of that goes to others. The best way to do that, bring it into the church. Let somebody who needs it take it home. Amen?
Amen.
Support the leadership of the church. In the same way. Sunday school teachers, Bible teachers, youth pastors, assistant pastor, everybody has leaders in this church have the right to be able to have the people of the church help them. Even if that means give them a sack of groceries out of what you got with your food stamps. Silence. Dead silence. Say amen! Deuteronomy 12, quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Deuteronomy chapter 12. Now we go under the Mosaic Law. I'm already behind time. We're going to do this. Better hang on. We're going to lay the wings out here in a second and fly quick. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 6. You see, under the Mosaic Law, a lot of people think, well, it was commanded to give 10%. It was. Three times over. Look what it says. Then you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the contribution of your hand, your votive offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. Not only did they have to give every year 20% of their total income, and they were not rich people. They gave 20% of their flocks. In other words, if they had 20 lambs born, two of them belonged to the Lord. And not the worst lambs, but the best lambs. If they grew a field when they got into the land, if they grew a field of corn, 10% of that in one of the offerings belonged to the Lord. Of their money, total money for the year, 20%. And every third year, it was 30%. How about that? Has anybody, don't answer, has anybody ever tried the Lord and given 10, 20, 30, 50, 80% just to watch the Lord take care of you? In ancient Israel, those were their taxes, by the way. The tithes were the support of the priest. in support of the servings and the families in the tabernacle. Lulu, you'll appreciate this one. And so will, let's see, Marsha and who are all the other ones that sing around here? Jerry sings, Sharon sings, Dolly sings. Because all of the singers and the musicians also were fully supported with a living wage. That wouldn't be bad, would it be, Dolly? Lulu says, yeah, come on. I'll play a song for that one. Well, listen, why did the Lord do all of that? Why, when the people of Israel were traveling in the wilderness, they put their tents all around something that was in the center. What was in the center? The tabernacle. Why was in the tabernacle the center? Because it was a symbol of what was central to their life. I've said it before, and it's absolutely true. Just everybody take right now, you don't have to look at me for a second, just look around real quick. Look at somebody different for a second. Come on, look at somebody different. Okay. That's the church. This is the central portion of your life as a believer. Amen. Everything else surrounds that. Some people say, well, if I have time, I'll come to church. No, what it should be, if you have time, you'll do something different because church is first. Period. In addition to that 30% that they gave every 3 years and 20% that they gave every year was also the redemption of the firstborn. That was beyond that. Other offerings, first fruits, grain offering, all the other offerings. And you know what? We don't have time to look at it all, but you know what the Lord said whenever the people of Israel, many years later, over and over and over again, the tabernacle and the temple became virtually destitute because people were keeping it for themselves. That's why, if you go to the book of Malachi, can you find Malachi? Go to Malachi. If you can find the Gospel of Matthew, go left, you'll wind up with the Italian prophet Malachi. 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 Chapter 3, verse 8. Here's what's interesting. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Some people, we're going to end up today on something that we didn't end up with before. If I can, I'm going to get there. But listen, I want to make a note to you also. Paul says, don't turn there, 2 Corinthians 11, 7 and 9, that because he was not supported by the church at Corinth, the richest church in the Bible, he said, I robbed other churches to minister to you. And some of the main ones that ministered to him was one of the poorest churches of the first church, which was the church at Macedonia. He said, I robbed them to serve you. So that brings us to 2 points, they're not in your notes. One, when that offering plate comes by, if we're not giving to the Lord in that and in other things where we are to give, we are first robbing God, and two, you're robbing from the other people who do give. Say amen. Amen. Oh, it's awful weak. Anybody in here take a gun and walk up to somebody and say, give me all your money? Every day? All right. Revelation, it says all thieves. Well, I'm sorry, never mind. No, you wouldn't do that. You'd never do that. But did you ever think that whenever you sit on your cash, you just stole from the people that supported the church? You stole from them as much as you stuck a gun in their face.
Preacher, you're having fun today, aren't you? Isn't it time to shut up? No, I'm just getting going. All right. Tithing and giving are two different things. The New Testament doesn't teach tithing, but it teaches free will giving, and it teaches generosity. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. There is one who scatters and yet increases. Now listen, this is the biblical principle. Here's the biblical principle. You don't give to get, but when you give, the Lord increases to His provision to you. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. There is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it only results in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Now, Paul went all the way over. Pastor Dennis went over to Philippians. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4. I was sitting over here just shaking my head when he was teaching, saying, I does not believe how he went and walked all over my sermon today.
Did you say Philippians?
Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. It's not on the screen. Philippians chapter 4. Starting with verse 10. Now I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. He's talking about monetary concern. You'll see that in a second. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. They didn't have a way to get it to him. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Boy, that's a message in itself. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And here's his secret. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. For yourselves, also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, now he's talking about a different time, no other church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. Do you think that the people at the church of Philippi, when they stand before the Lord, are going to say, I sure wish I hadn't given so much to Paul? You realize that I could have bought a new donkey if I hadn't given so much. I could have bought a donkey with racing stripes and double pipes on the back end. I'm not even going to go there. All right. some of you now have a mental image. You just can't get rid of it, can't you? I love it. Okay, my face is red. Listen, now look, pay attention to 17 because here's the key. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. How does it increase to your account? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lay not for yourselves treasures on earth, but treasure in heaven. Do you realize that every time you give for the church, for the work of the ministry, to others who are in need, true need, not greed,
amen,
true need, that it is just like in heaven is going cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. You just like storing money in the bank. Now listen, I don't understand all of this, but if the Lord said you need to store up treasure in heaven, it's because you're going to need treasure in heaven. How many of you are very tired of being poor? Say amen. How do you want to be poor for all eternity? Then you got to send it on ahead. He said, but I have received everything in full and have abundance. Verse 18, I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. Now look, what did he say the offering was? A fragrant aroma. That goes back to the Old Testament sacrifices. A fragrant aroma. An acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Let me ask you a simple question. Are you ready? Does your giving pass the smell test? Is it a fragrant aroma to the Lord, or does it stink to high heaven?
That's a little hard to deal with, isn't it? God's ways contradict human viewpoint, but this truth goes against self-centeredness. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. That is, be rewarded if we do not lose heart. Lesson 3. Oh dear, I've got 17 or 18 to go. Here, the believer is expected to give out of what has been given, money or otherwise. The believer is to do it willingly, eagerly, cheerfully, with an attitude to honor the Lord. Principle number 5. Or 4 and 5. What a 5. A lesson on giving. Here it is. Giving reveals our attitude about our priorities and teaches us to serve God and not greed. Matthew chapter 6. Thank you, Pastor Dennis. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 24 and following. Matthew chapter 6. If you're there, say, oh me.